Thank you, Aiden, for reading Luke chapter 22, verses 14 through 20. Do you guys remember what it was like when you first became Christians? Do you remember the excitement that you had? Do you remember the fact that you wanted to go out and tell everybody what you had just experienced? Do you remember the relief that you had when you came back out of that watery grave of baptism, that you felt like you had the burden completely lifted off of you? Do you remember that feeling? How do you do that today? Do you remember that feeling today? We know that the world today remembers Jesus' resurrection, but how many days do we do? 52 days a year we will memorialize our Christ's resurrection through a reenactment of his death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord's Supper. 52 days a year. How are we to remember Jesus? We are to remember Jesus a very specific way. We're going to look at that. How often are we supposed to remember Jesus? Is it just once a year? We want to remember Jesus because it's part of Jesus and the apostles' doctrine. A grateful heart will remember the sacrifice that he made. God the Father wants us to remember his Son. We just read here Luke chapter 22, verse 14. And when you look at Luke's account of the Lord's Supper, one phrase sounds out from the other. He says, "Do this in remembrance of me." In fact, we see that probably inscribed up here on the table. Paul, a different apostle, a different writer, inspired by God, he cites the same phrase when he instructs the church at Corinth in a proper observance of the Lord's Supper. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 22 and 23, "For I have received the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance.'" To some, it may be obvious as to why we should remember Jesus, yet perhaps it doesn't appear to be so obvious to others. Because some people remember Jesus once or twice a year. They call them Christmas and Easter Christians. You know, those folks who decide to come to church on Christmas and Easter. Some remember Jesus more frequently, but just don't understand how we're supposed to remember Jesus. Some remember Jesus once a month. But what does the Bible teach regarding remember Jesus? How are we to do it? Remembering Jesus was and is a part of Jesus and the apostles' doctrine. The apostles taught the fact that we must remember Jesus. Look there again, and Luke records Jesus' very own words during the institution of the Lord's Supper. Verse 19, "This do in remembrance of me." John records Jesus' desire for him to remember. In John chapter 16 and verse 4, "But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them." And when the time came, they did remember. In Luke chapter 24, 6 through 8, we read that, "He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.'" And they remembered those words. Years later, another apostle, Peter, also stated that he would not be negligent in these matters. 2 Peter 1, 12 through 15, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though we may know him and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you into remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off by this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. He even says that he is going to give you remembrance, that you won't be neglectful, so that it will stir you up. We see that we've seen movies that have been produced where you have seen the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, and people watch that and they come out and they're crying because they've been stirred. Why were they stirred? They remembered the sacrifice. When you remember or bring in remembrance, you are stirred to action, to obedience, to doing what is righteous. It was Jesus and the apostles' desire that we remember him. But the fact of remembering was not the only concern of Jesus and his apostle. There was also the question of how. How do you remember? That this question was so important to Jesus is clearly indicated in the statement, "This do in remembrance of me." Jesus himself told us how to remember him. I look at my father who is going through the muscular dystrophy. He soon will not be on this earth. My father himself has already planned his funeral. My father himself has also picked out what kind of music he wants played at the funeral. He has written his own obituary. He has decided that this is not going to be a time of mourning, but a life celebration. And he is going from one phase of life into another phase of life. And he wants us to celebrate his passing of this world and the meeting of going into Abraham's bosom. And he wants us to be joyful about it. And just like my father, who has tried to plan that, he's wanted to plan it for several reasons. Number one, he loves us and he doesn't want us to grieve for him. He wants us to follow after him. And Jesus has done the same thing. He has planned exactly how he wants us to remember him, because he doesn't want us to grieve it. He wants us to be with him and follow after him. Would he tell us how to do something if that wasn't important? The apostles also thought the how of remembering Jesus was important. Paul thought it was so important that he wrote to the church at Corinth to tell them how to do it correctly in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 23 through 26. It says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' After the same manner also this cup, he took this cup, and when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till we come.'" Doesn't say give your kids chocolate Easter bunnies and eggs, does it? We also have the question of when. We may, of course, mentally remember Jesus at any point in our lives. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and 8, "Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Remember in this passage actually means to keep on remembering. It's a continual action. Just like when Paul is told, and they say that Daniel was praying without ceasing, that we are also to remember Jesus without ceasing. That is the importance of that word here, the meaning behind it. Some people say, well, I can't pray continually. Praying continually doesn't mean you have to be the formal posture of prayer on my knees with my hands folded. I can be in communication with God all the time by being righteous, doing what he wants, and asking him and talking to him and thanking him at every moment and every turn of my life. And you can remember Jesus. Because I'm to tell you something, it's hard to do something bad when you're thinking about Jesus. But when we remember Jesus in the Lord's Supper, both the how and the when must be respected. Paul told the Corinthians, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye show the Lord's death till he comes." There was regularity to the practice. We find the fact that Jesus said that he would observe it with the disciples in the kingdom. Look at Matthew chapter 26 and verse 29. "But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Look at Mark chapter 14 and verse 25. "Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God." Look at Luke, a different writer, chapter 22 and verse 16. "For I say to you that I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God." The kingdom came. The kingdom did come. In Acts chapter 2, on a day of Pentecost, the kingdom came. The church was established here on earth. We find the apostles partaking of the Lord's Supper that very Sunday. Acts chapter 2 and 42 states, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread and in prayers." It was then observed regularly every Sunday. Thereafter, by all Christians everywhere. Acts chapter 20 and verse 7 exemplifies this. "And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, they observed the Lord's Supper on Sunday, the first day of the week, every week." If we will continue in Jesus and the apostles' doctrine, we will so remember Jesus. A grateful heart will remember that sacrifice. We know how to memorialize the sacrifice of others, don't we? Especially in this country. The Washington, D.C., it contains thousands, or hundreds actually, hundreds of memorials. Memorials to Washington and Lincoln and Jefferson. It goes on. War memorials, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, the Tomb of the Unknown. I remember when they had the Vietnam War Memorial, and they went and they traveled. Do you remember when they traveled? And you could go and sketch a relative's name on a piece of paper. That's the first time I clearly remember the sacrifice and what it truly meant when John says that there is no greater love than to one man to lay his life down for another. Because when I read those letters of the grieving wives that were waiting their husbands to come back, and you read them, it brings you to tears. If you get a chance, go to this memorial. Read those letters. Because that same sacrifice that those men have done for our country, Jesus has done for us. Do you remember when Paul came to the came in and saw all of these memorials to these gods? All these different memorials to the gods, and he sees one that says it was the memorial to an unknown god because they were afraid that they were going to forget one, right? We don't seem to be much different. What do we have? The tomb of the unknown soldier. We're afraid that we're going to forget to remember somebody and their sacrifice, so we put a tomb of an unknown soldier out there. We recognize the need for regularity in memorializing another's sacrifice for us. Memorial Day, Veterans Day, Pearl Harbor. At the beginning of most major sporting events, we sing the national anthem. Who could reasonably suggest that we would not do that? The Bible speaks of our need to be grateful. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, I exhort you therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. The Bible says we need to be grateful in everything, for everyone, and for Christ. Those who are grateful, remember. There is a relationship, or certainly a correlation, between being thankful and remembering. Psalms chapter 6 and 5, for in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave, who shall give thee thanks? The psalmist writes, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness, Psalms 30 and 4. Giving thanks is a part of the pattern of the Lord's Supper. In 1 Corinthians 11, 24, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Thankfulness is, in and of itself, a way to remember. Why would we not want to be thankful and remember the sacrifice of Jesus every week? Every day. Every moment. God the Father wants us to remember his Son Jesus. The entirety of the Bible serves to illustrate this point. From the very beginning, when God created man and in his own image, he had a relationship with Adam and Eve. And when that relationship was broken, not by him, but by man for sin, he has ever since tried to regain that relationship with us. And he has done that. The whole Bible talks about regaining our relationship with Christ, regaining our relationship with God the Father. And he has given us a way to do that. The entirety of the Bible serves to illustrate this point. The fact that we have the Bible in and of itself proves that God wants us to remember Jesus. Jesus as Messiah is the theme of the Bible. He is the way for our relationship to be repaired with God. He speaks to us today through his Son Jesus. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. The New Testament writers beckon us to remember. Beckon us to remember. Let's look at a few of these. Look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 7. but made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant. And he was made in the likeness of man. Verse 8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. God wants us to remember that Jesus came from heaven, that he took the form of a servant, that he humbled himself in obedience, that he submitted himself to death. And 1 Corinthians 15 and 3, for I have delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. Galatians 1, 4, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our fathers. Ephesians 5, 2, and walk in love as Christ hath also loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. We just read in Genesis today, the first sweet-smelling savor was when Noah built an altar and sacrificed to God. And Jesus' sacrifice was also a sweet-smelling savor to God. 1 Peter chapter 2, 24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Wouldn't you want people to remember if your child made that sacrifice? What if your child went to war and he died for a cause, and he caused that helped you? Would you want those people to remember that? What about if you know, when we were up here at the Gettysburg Cemetery, Tim was pointing out that there's an area over there that was from the bubonic plague or from one of the plagues that came through, and they have an area there where they've buried a few people. Well, people remember. They have a whole area over there for it. Wouldn't you want if your son died and made a sacrifice on your behalf? Wouldn't you want to remember? Don't you think that God wants us to remember his only begotten son, Jesus Christ? How do you think God feels about that? How would you feel if the memorial of your child was neglected? How would you feel if the memorial of your child was once a year? How does God feel about that? Some say they don't observe the Lord's Supper weekly for fear it is getting old and losing its meaning. Do you think our remembering of Jesus gets old to God? Does it lose meaning with God? Do we believe that God will let us get away with not remembering Jesus every week? If you've lost loved ones, do you remember them once a year? Or are they continually in your thoughts? Why remember Jesus? It's part of Jesus and the apostles' doctrine. A grateful heart will remember sacrifice. God the Father wants us to remember Jesus. If you're a Christian, have you been remembering Jesus in your life? Christians remember Jesus every day by living the life that Jesus himself lived. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Remember what it was like when you were first come out of that watery grave? Do you remember the feeling that you had of being completely cleansed and the burden being lifted off of your shoulders? Do you remember the zeal that you had? If you're not a Christian this morning, you need to remember Jesus. You need to remember him first by hearing the word which you've heard this morning, by believing that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for you, you specifically. If you were the only one, he would have died for you. And repenting. Try not to do those bad things again. Confessing, because you have to confess his name before men, or he will not confess you before God. You confess Jesus is the Son of God, and you have to be baptized. When you are baptized, you reenact the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And when you reenact the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you are remembering him. And then every Sunday after that, you take the Lord's Supper and you are remembering Jesus through the reenactment of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And once you come out of that watery grave, you live a faithful Christian life and you will be saved. It's the only way. Amen. The lesson is yours. If you have needs, let them know. Let them be known by coming forward as we stand and sing the song of encouragement.